The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, looking very sportif in a bright blue t-shirt.
Thank you, Father. Stephen's Green, Stephen's Green Centre. We've got a cancer exhibition happening over there called Breakthrough Cancer Research, and it's launching today. It's a fantastic exhibition, Pat, all about cancer. Everybody's welcome. It's free in. Everything you need to know about cancer is in this exhibition, so it's superb.
Yeah, and literally every day we're getting new news on cancer. Pretty good news a lot
we
of
are.
The time. Pancreatic cancer,
yeah.
There's some breakthrough.
Another vaccine. Yeah, I mean, in fact, part of this exhibition, Pat, is all about immunotherapy, my area. That's I'm involved in it, you know. More and more evidence the immune system will kill tumours through vaccines or various approaches. So it's a really hopeful time, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, today's topic, though, is not cancer. It's ME, which used to be known as yuppie flu.
Yeah, it's a funny one, this, but ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, we've all heard of these things, haven't we? And, of course, it's been neglected and dismissed. It's often sort of neglected by doctors and so on. Now a breakthrough, Pat. They've found 8 genetic markers for this condition in humans. And there was a big sort of attempt to see if you could find actually what's going on here. And this study, 27,000 people with ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome, are studied, which is a huge number.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they find these 8 regions of their genomes that would predict the risk of this. So it's seen as a real advance.
Now, the question I have to ask is, you and I have talked before about epigenetics, that is, how your genes may change depending on life. Is it possible that the ME or yuppie flu or chronic fatigue syndrome changes your genome?
That could be part of it. Yeah, that's one aspect to this. This is not that. This is actually written in the genes. It's called Decode ME was the name of the study, and they sequenced, can you believe, had all these people's genomes. And lo and behold, they find 8 patches in the 27,000 people correlating with this disease. And that's why it's seen as robust, because it's so many people were studied.
So did they look at people who didn't suffer from this? So you,
they did.
It's a blind study, therefore. You've got to be able to compare those who don't have it with those who
do. You've got 250,000 people who didn't have it, and that gives you great power then. You know, 250,000 without ME, 27,000 people with, and exactly as you say, you compare one to the other. And then it gets quite statistical then, because you're trying to get statistical correlations, and then they can claim these 8 regions.
Does AI have anything to do with this kind of research?
Yeah, kind of. AI will be deployed in some of this genetic analysis because it's so complicated. And what was very nice, Pat, as well, was the genes they found are in the immune system, first of all. And we always knew there was some kind of immune aspect to this. Many people have an infection and then go on to develop.
Yeah. I mean, often people talk about a post-viral syndrome.
That's it, exactly. And that's probably what ME is, really. And lo and behold, there's these particular genes in the immune system. And what's even more important is some of these genes, for example, that are mutated are off switches for the immune system. So in other words, they're losing a break on the immune response. And then the immune response kicks off. You fight the infection, it goes away, but the immune system is still burning away and then giving you these various symptoms. So and that was sort of empirical. They weren't looking for immune genes. They just cropped up in the study, if you know what I mean.
Now, has anything in this study got to do with long COVID? Because many people will say it's the same. Long COVID is the same as ME or yuppie flu or what is the, it's myalgic encephalomyelitis.
That's the name they give to it. Yes, it's the symptoms of long COVID, really, Pat. It's things like fatigue, obviously, is a big one in the name chronic fatigue syndrome. Brain fog, pain is a feature. Chronic pain is part of this as well. There's various symptoms that we'd all be kind of familiar with. And what's nice there is they found another gene called CA10, and that gene is tied into chronic pain. So again, that would explain some of the symptoms. And the authors, in fact, conclude that the analysis that they found is consistent with the symptoms. Now, they didn't look at long COVID in this particular study, but obviously now they now see these genes. They look at them next in long COVID, and you never know.
It might be interesting to see whether the people who suffer from long COVID also have these anomalies in their genome.
Yeah, there's going to be overlap, they think.
When you say they analyse the genome, how many genes are they looking at in each person?
This is such a remarkable. There are 3 billion nucleotides in your genome. They sequenced all 3 billion, right? Wow. And then they look for differences. And that's why you need AI, really, because that's a very dense amount of data you're examining there, you know? And then again, you've got to use 27,000 patients. Can you imagine, Pat, they found 27,000 people that were diagnosed with this. And that was always a problem, who has it and who hasn't and what the symptoms are. So it's a really sort of a robust analysis based on that.
Why do you think that doctors were so skeptical about even the existence of ME?
You couldn't diagnose it. One thing this will help at is address that. They couldn't really diagnose it. Someone's in your surgery, they're complaining of these things. You couldn't measure anything in them really that was different to someone without the disease. And what's happened, of course, here, Pat, is if you use very elaborate technology, you can find the difference. And then the other study that's worth mentioning is they're now using the bugs in your gut might be different. And they're
measuring that.
The microbiome, yeah. And that AI was used there. So what they found in that is they measured the bugs in the gut, your immune system, and your blood, and the three things combined now can reveal a diagnosis. So in other words, they've been waiting for a long time for accurate diagnosis for this to counter the claim that, oh, this person is malingering or there's something not wrong with them. You know? So once you see something really robust, then you begin to think
now,
it's a scientific basis.
It's probably a great relief for people who have ME or chronic fatigue syndrome to know that there is a reason. Because one of the bizarre things when people have it, they just feel awful. They can't understand why. The doctor can't find any symptoms.
Yeah.
So that's great. They will be reassured. We know why it's happened to you. But now the question is, what can we do to fix it?
Well, exactly. That's the big, they would ask that. The first benefit your iPad is you can now be diagnosed. Now, this is still in development, but maybe soon, you would hope, they'll use these discoveries to test someone and say, oh, you have ME, CSF based on this, and that will give people reassurance. As you may know, but if you have something wrong with you and people can't diagnose it, that's worrying as well. Now, the next thing is, can you now treat it? Now, obviously, these genes, if you can target them in some way, or develop drugs that target what they produce, then you might actually begin to see a therapy. And the CA10 one, that's especially interesting because if you can target that and relieve the pain part, that would be
battle.
A real advance. Now, again, that's going to take a few years to develop. It's seen in some ways, Pat, as the start of this, you know. It's the first real good evidence as to what's going wrong in the body. And now the next move will be people jump on this, of course. And once you see success, lots of people get involved.
We mentioned long COVID there in passing. Is there much COVID around, do we know, at the moment?
It's here all the time.
All the time.
All the time. It's like the cold. If people with the symptoms of a cold now may well have caught SARS-CoV-2. It joins the other viruses that are there anyway, you know, that give you the symptoms of having a cold. Now, the good news is your immune system stops it getting severe and you have the symptoms of a mild cold for the vast majority of people.
So irrespective of how this thing mutates now...
Yep.
A lot of people have the protection built in.
That's right, yeah, because you want to watch that. It could mutate into more malignant forms, so we keep an eye on that. At the moment, though, colds are caused by rhinoviruses or SARS-CoV-2. You know, the same kind of symptoms are there. You build up immunity and you defend yourself against it. That's the current situation.
So, I mean, they'll be talking, obviously, about an autumn booster. Will that be any different to what's out there?
Maybe, yeah. The truth is that any vaccine will give you some protection now against any variant, it looks like, because we have such experience with this, obviously, over the years now. And, of course, the people to be careful are the vulnerable as ever, a bit like flu, you know, older people who are immunosuppressed. They're the ones where it might get severe, but the vast majority, you'll have maybe a couple of days with a few cold-like symptoms and you'll get over.
I just wonder, with the cessation of much research in the United States, how worried should we be about, you know, keeping an eye on the next pandemic?
Well, that's the worry, absolutely, Pat. Now, they are trying to keep a close eye on this, and in America, the CDC is involved, but they're having their funding cut. So the European side gets more important, actually, and the Europeans are now keeping a very close eye on this. That the concern would be a new variant, that's still a risk, remember, a more severe variant, or a brand new virus, like happened with SARS-CoV-2. So again, vigilance, as ever, is the key thing to focus on there, really.
All right, Luke O'Neill, who is Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, wearing his bright blue T-shirt. You can't miss him. It says Breakthrough Cancer Research on the front of it. And you'll probably see him sashaying down Grafton Street anytime soon. And don't forget that exhibition in the Stephen Green
Shopping Centre. Yeah, where the Argos is. But they've taken the Argos space. Two floors. Really good. I recommend people attend.
Everybody is welcome and it is totally free. Thank you, Luke.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.